Welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
Join us as we discuss our latest Happy News finds.
A bit about us. Kristen is a Colorado stage manager.
And Shayna is a creator and stage manager.
Kristen, what is your happy news this week?
It's silly happy news, but I love really terrible reality TV.
And oh, yeah.
Yesterday, I hadn't started it yet, but I completely binged all of the current season, all of the current episodes of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And man, am I here for it. It's a wild
That's a
ride.
Thing?
It is brand
Salt Lake
new.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's new.
Is Jackson Hole next?
Sorry. Truly, though. But it is wild anyway, because like Salt Lake City is known for Mormons, and so like most of them are Mormon, so it's very like they're all but one of them are like religious women, and then just to see them have the same like housewife drama as you see in like OC, New York, Atlanta, everywhere, but then they're like, well, this is what God thinks of you, is like unreal, and I'm living for it. It's so
obsessed.
Amazing. It's so funny.
I am so funny. Like the closest I can get to that sort, like I can do Top Chef, I can do Chopped, I can do Say Yes to the Dress. That's like the extent. Like yeah. I think I made it through half a Bachelorette episode once, and I was like, oh, this is just not for me.
yeah.
But like, I salute the people who can watch it, because it's all everyone talks about. I'm like, I wish I had it in me to watch and not judge myself or them.
Yeah, no, when I first started watching like Keeping Up with the Kardashians in high school, I was like, wow, this is something we never tell anyone about. But then I was like, no, because it makes me watching those kind of shows just makes me feel better about myself in like a sick way. I'm like, wow, I'm a wreck.
Oh,
but at least,
man.
I'm not there.
At least, yeah. Your face is still yours.
What's your happiness? Let's talk about you.
Oh, yeah. So I like snacks. I like healthy snacks. I like the occasional not so nutritious snack. I discovered at the grocery store, they make dried tangerine slices. It's really cool. I can't really do much because I can't eat apples. I can eat like a slice of dried mango a day, and that's all my body can do. So it's like very limiting sometimes when you want something in that vein. So I saw this bag of dried tangerine, and I like totally like snuck a slice on the way home, and I was like, oh, this is good. Nice. So I'm very excited about my new yummy snack, dried tangerine.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds real good. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, I have no idea where it's accessible, because I got it at Publix. So like if you're in Florida, go to Publix. But I don't know if Whole Foods or TJ's would have it.
Yeah. Oh,
I say TJ's like it's my BFF, which it is.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, man. Yeah. So tell me, what news has been making you happy?
So I'm going to talk about sea turtles.
Yeah.
So typically in a calendar year, 500 to 1,000 baby Olive Ridley sea turtles hatch and are released off of the coast of Mexico. But this year in 2020, due to less traffic from tourism, less fishing, and efforts of a local indigenous conservation group, record numbers of baby sea turtles hatched. So Olive Ridley sea turtles have been on the endangered species list for a few years. And this year, over 2,250 baby sea turtles were released, like more than double the normal average.
So,
and
so
they
many.
Were released into the Gulf of Mexico. So Shayna, be ready. They're coming for you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Come play with us. Well, they're going to come play with the new green sea turtles that, so in St. Pete, for the first time in a very long time, I think about a decade, they've found green sea turtle nests in Pinellas County. So we're going to have turtle convention. Yes. We're going to have turtle con here in St. Pete, Florida.
Yeah,
I'm ready for it. Oh, this is really exciting news. And it's not unlike the other, you know, news we've heard that, you know, on the upside of the pandemic, you know, nature is really showing us what she can do. So
yeah,
it's like when the skylines were visible in certain parts of Nepal and China and Asia during the sort of factory shutdown part of the pandemic.
So. I mean, here just with less driving traffic, seeing the mountains so clear is like awesome. So
it's gotta be
more turtles.
Yes. Oh, who doesn't love turtles? Okay, so I'm gonna do a bit of a throwback article. I've done a couple throwback holiday articles, and I really like this one. Michigan State hosts an annual Merry and Bright Holiday Bazaar. And in 2019, it was their 18th annual Holiday Bazaar, and it raised money for Toys for Tots. So last year, they raised $3,074, bringing their cumulative total to $49,286.
Wow.
Yeah, go Michigan State, you. Donations to the bazaar could be anything from like crafts to baked goods or business donations like gift cards and silent auction items. And I don't know, I got to work on a craft festival once at this giant cathedral in New York, and it was this massive operation. So like, I think when you work on them, you appreciate all the effort that goes into making them engaging and community friendly.
So I
really enjoyed reading about this. And if you've never heard of Toys for Tots, it is a U.S. Marine Corps run organization. It's been bringing kids joy since 1947. They've donated over 584 million toys to 265 million children. And this year, since we are, you know, in a pandemic, we have options to still contribute to Toys for Tots. You can shop, select, and donate virtually through their website.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Yeah, holiday fundraising and gift giving and cheer has made a virtual turn this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love.
Yeah. Nice. Did you ever do those types of fundraisers growing up?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm sure we did.
I feel like my school district was very into FOP fundraisers. The Fraternal Order of Police, we would do like holiday fundraisers with them. Mm-hmm. And bake sales and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the holidays have always been a huge deal, but like.
Yeah. Well, especially in your Christmas family. Yeah.
It's all kind of a blur.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my second article, this really like inspired me. And like when I read about it, I talked to Aaron about it for like 40 minutes. So the Netherlands has a goal to be climate proof, not like carbon neutral, like climate proof by 2050. So the city of Arnhem, I think is how you say it. It's 60 miles west of Amsterdam, just for context. And it has started this change to climate proof by taking 10% of the city's roads and replacing them with greenery to adapt to like ever-changing climate change. Last year, 2019, temperatures rose to 30 degrees above average in the summertime. Like they were record highs constantly in the summer. In 2014, most of the city was flooded due to heavy rainfall. And then like shortly after that, they went through a pretty severe drought. So like everything, I'm thinking of like the town in Hercules that's like the drought and the earthquake and the storm, like it sounds like that. So they've already turned, so the Rhine River, like the big famous German river, goes through the Netherlands, goes through this city, and they've taken the areas near the Rhine and turned it into floodable parks. So like if that area floods, it's not a huge concern. And then that prevents damage to businesses and other downtown establishments, and it's just a large space that collects the rainfall to prevent damage to buildings. And they're turning, in addition to turning roads into green spaces, they're looking at like more asphalt areas, like parking lots that aren't heavily populated, and even taking the front of buildings, just like bricks, we know bricks trap heat, asphalt traps heat. So they're taking these things and turning them into green spaces. And that's like all this wildlife is coming back. It's just,
that's so brilliant. Innovative.
And the pictures are so beautiful. Like,
yeah,
really cool. You can still drive your car, but you're driving past a wall of grass instead of a wall of brick that's so hot.
Sounds so pretty.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, at first I was confused by what climate proof means, but it's not only combating climate change, it's preparing, like if we had floodable basements or floodable parks in Florida, where we get hurricanes frequently and we have to deal with flooding issues. That is so cool. And it's not sort of denying that climate exists, it's embracing what climate does.
Yeah, like climate does change. Yeah. Like throughout the Earth's history, we know that climate does change significantly. And this is a way to kind of, like you said, embrace it and like, well, let's make the best of it. So
Yeah. Oh my gosh, thank you for sharing all of those really, they seem innovative, but at the same time, it seems also basic in terms of just looking around and recognizing what happens and going, well, what do we do about it? You know?
Right.
Yeah. That's so neat. I'm already, my head is spinning with things that America could do to be comparable in all of our different states and adapting their climates to change.
Yeah.
To sort of embrace it. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a trip from the Netherlands over to Ontario. There is a village called Merrickville, and they're doing a community pay it forward program. Yeah. So Dr. Katie Weststraight is a naturopathic doctor and yoga instructor. And she started thinking of how she could brighten people's days and combine it with supporting small businesses because of the malaise of COVID-19. And she was noticing it taking a toll on her patients' stress and mental states. And she's like, well, how do I fix this? Not just individually, but as from a community and a bigger picture perspective. And she started this pay it forward concept. So she gifted 24 of her students with a free class and asked them to start paying it forward. So then Dr. Katie Weststraight has also done things like she purchased 100 sea salt caramels from this new shop called Pickle and Myrrh. And she told the shop owner, Aaron Kurgan, to give a caramel to the first 100 customers to walk into the store. So she purchased 100 and said, give it out to the people coming in. And she also purchased 10 coffees to give away at a local coffee shop. And so the owner of this coffee shop, Village Bean, noticed how word of mouth was starting to catch on. So now this coffee shop has a pass it on card or just like a free coffee program if they see someone having a really rough day. Like I'm picturing like mom with two screaming toddlers, like she needs a free coffee. Like that's what I'm picturing. Yeah. Yeah. So like as winter approached, there is an owner of a local health food store. Her name is Claire Sexton, and she's been giving out free tea and free vitamin D. So like free boxes of tea, not just like free cups of it to people walking in, but just like leaving out tea bags for people to take and vitamin D supplements as winter kicks in because, you know, we all need to boost those supplements in the winter. Mm-hmm. And it's been really sort of, you know, when you read an article like this, it's kind of neat to see how paying it forward isn't just purchasing something. It can be any form of brightening a day just because. So like I've started doing thinking of you texts. Like I started a couple weeks ago just going, oh, I'm just checking in to see how everyone's day is going, or like texting friends, like especially if I know they have kids. I'm like, oh, just checking in, hope, you know, remote learning is going well. And just it's a nice way that everyone can, you know, pay someone kindness. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot. So
yeah. Oh, that's so cute. And thank you for being amazing and doing that. That's so sweet of you.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to pay it forward with kindness? Maybe the Grinch.
Maybe. But like even something as simple as just what you're doing, like just texting people. Like that's so delightful.
Yeah. We try.
I mean, this is kind of maybe a pay it forward story. I don't know. So I have there's a 95-year-old World War II vet. He and his late wife vowed to never go into like a retirement or assisted living home. So when his wife passed and he was unable to care for himself, his grandson moved grandpa from Illinois to Arizona to live with him and his wife. And soon after grandpa moved in, they went on this epic road trip to hit all of grandpa's bucket list spots that included Vegas, New Orleans, El Paso, and grandpa's hometown of Waco, Texas.
Party on, grandpa.
Right? And like this didn't happen in 2020. This was like pre-COVID times. Everything was totally normal. And most notably, anytime they stopped at a World War II museum, grandpa was like, he said he was treated like a rock star and he met fellow World War II vets and he would get private tours from museum staff who were just so ecstatic to have him there. He got free museum swag, like a ton of just really cool stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really cute. And I mean, he did in, they were planning a trip to Graceland for 2020 because grandpa's favorite rock star was always Elvis, but sadly grandpa passed away before they could make the journey, but he died the same day Elvis did. And his grandson was like, he would just be tickled by that. So it worked out perfectly.
Like, oh my gosh. There's like, oh, in some way, like a happy version of the ending of this story. That's beautiful.
And I was like, ooh, that's sad. Don't share that. But I was like, well, that's sweet that like same day as Elvis, the whole point of the year was to go see Elvis's hometown. So might as well meet Elvis in the afterlife or whatever you believe in. Like, how cool.
Maybe he's great in them. Yeah. I think that's so sweet. None of my grandparents, they all ended up in some sort of assisted living, and well, most of my grandparents did. And so it, you know, I was lucky that it was pre-pandemic because I got to visit them. So it was, it was helpful because you're still able to see them and maintain a relationship. And it's so sweet that not only was the grandson willing to take in grandpa, but grandpa wanted to go in a healthy way, you know, receive help from within the family, not from external.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to be able, like for this grandson and his wife to be able to take the time to go on this long of a road trip. I mean, Vegas and New Orleans are not close in proximity.
And they're such fun destinations. Like if you had to go on a road trip and COVID was not a factor, like what is a place that you would for sure want a road trip to?
I really want to drive out to like San Francisco and hit all the California national parks on a road trip.
Yeah. I love that.
Like content. It's planned. I have day sheets. I know how much it will cost. I'm ready.
You're so ready. I feel like that is a very ambitious, but also very rewarding trip. Like I would absolutely go in the trunk of the car for that one.
Yeah. It's
or the back seat, like whichever you prefer.
I think it's 16 days minimum, like 16 Perfect. Days.
That's like, okay, ideal.
Who can take that much time off of work ever? But
well we're unemployed. So yep. Right here.
Right. What's your like dream road trip?
I am game to drive anywhere. Like I grew up in the Northeast and our highways are not like gorgeous in New Jersey and like Delaware and going out to Long Island. Like it's meant to like deal with heavy traffic. So like anywhere that's more scenic. I had a really long commute when I was interning in San Diego. And I just remember not caring one smidge if the commute was long because it was the most beautiful drive into the theater every day. I was like, I don't care. There's mountains and it's just pretty. So I don't care if it's an hour or 20 minutes. Like I don't, this is fine. So anywhere pretty, like I would definitely love to do the California, like the coast, even maybe get Seattle and Oregon in there. Mm-hmm. I'd also love to, if I were in Europe, I would love to do a road trip through the Alps. I feel like that would be really pretty.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I did sort of a mini version of that after high school. I was on a choir trip and we sang in all these different small little cute towns in Europe and our bus totally drove from Switzerland into Italy through the Italian Alps, I believe. And so I would love to do like the more formal version of that. Yeah.
That's the coolest high school field trip I've ever heard of.
Wow. Right. It was a shout out American Music Abroad. So yeah. If you're craving retail therapy, check out Positive Posts Clothing Co. They have designs to uplift and combat daily negativity. They have everything: apparel, face masks, mugs, magnets, and tote bags. I Love Their Kindness is Contagious and Reading Will Take You to New Worlds campaigns. Enter the code HAPPY at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's HAPPY in all caps. Okay, last but not least today, Merry Christmas, Kristen. My next article combines two of your favorite things. It's eco-friendly businesses and beer. So yeah, get ready.
Love it.
And it's not too far away. You can road trip to Arizona to celebrate this one. Yep, I got all your favorites today. Merry Christmas. So I don't know if you know this. 1 gallon of beer requires 5 gallons of water. So 5 to 1 is a pretty high ratio, especially in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's a desert. Water's not plentiful in the Southwest. So Patrick Ware and Jonathan Buford at Arizona Wilderness are making their brewing company as eco-friendly as they can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they are part of a program called Scale Up, and it's for business owners looking to implement cost-effective goals into their businesses. And it entails everything from turning food waste into farmland to compostable to-go boxes, sort of the soup to nuts of how to be eco-friendly as a business. And it's all meant to be cost-effective. So they do scaled food waste using a local composting service, Recycled City. Recycled City gives you a bucket and they basically just pick the food waste up during the week so that it doesn't, expire too much as the week goes on. They sort of have a pickup system to keep food waste, to keep it all good. And companies that participate get rewards. Like they might get starter plants from local farmers. And this form of composting is beneficial in a lot of ways. So if you don't know about composting, it can help build farmland, it reduces landfill waste, and it strengthens local food economies. So it's sort of a trifecta of green food composting. So one of the drinks that Patrick and Jonathan serve at Arizona Wilderness is called Singula Malt. And Singula Malt works with local farmers to shift the crops they use. So instead of summer crops like corn and alfalfa, during the winter season, they're using the late winter spring crop, malted barley, which means they're using less irrigation water in rivers so that there's more for people and more for wildlife.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love.
So yeah, get your eco-friendly beer.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I know that there's a lot of breweries in Denver. So hopefully the eco scale up system sort of spreads over, popular Southwestern cities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Wow.
That's your Christmas gift. Shipping you some eco-friendly beer.
Thanks. Love it. What are you looking forward to?
All right. So it's just about Christmas and normal Jewish Christmas traditions are going to a movie theater and getting Chinese food. Definitely not going to movie theater this year. I'll probably throw on some Amazon Prime or Netflix. And where we are in Florida, there is some great ethnic cuisine. Chinese food is not one of them, but there is a ton of really good local Thai in downtown St. Pete. Like there's like 5 really great Thai fusion style restaurants in like a 3-mile radius. So I am 400% getting some form of pad Thai and watching movies on Christmas. I like to keep to the classics. My Christmas movie pairing is Home Alone and everyone's favorite Die Hard.
Love.
Yeah, I think Die Hard is 400% a Christmas movie.
Oh, love.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
Christmas, it's so weird. Like when you're doing Christmas theater all the time every year, you're like, oh my God, if I do one more version of A Christmas Carol, forget about it. But this year I've been really like missing it, which is so weird. So a new missing something work related is a weird new concept for me. But I was really missing A Christmas Story. And when I did A Christmas Story, I never watched it. Cause I was like, I have to see this every day. I get it. You'll shoot your eye out. Like I get it. I don't need to watch the film, but yeah. I'm really excited to watch it on Christmas Eve. Like with the Christmas tree, like the whole, the whole deal, the whole like classic Christmas nonsense, I'm going to actually do
this
year.
You're starting to get a little nostalgic.
Ridiculous. How dare. Is this what 30 is, everyone?
It's 30 and, you know, almost a year removed from being, I mean, it's been a year since you were on a tour doing a Christmas show.
Yeah. So
what is it? Absence makes the heart grow nostalgic.
Fonder, I guess, whatever. That. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited. Next week is our season one finale. Mm-hmm. And that means there's 1 week left to vote for our season two logo and to donate to our fundraiser. So a lot of fun HNN stuff going on in the next week too.
Yes. And listeners, let us know your happy news, names, pictures, family friendly fun, whatever you're up to. We love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week. Until next time, I'm Kristen.
I'm Shayna.
Have a happy
week. Have a happy week.